I'd like to call to order the regular Borough Assembly meeting for June 15th, 2026. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mayor Lynn.
Mayor Lynn is excused.
Vice Mayor Stanton Gregor.
Here.
Member Martin.
Here.
Member Mucci.
Here.
Member Newman.
Here.
Member Schwartz.
Here.
Member Valentine.
Here.
Mayor Lynn excused. We have five members in chambers with Member Martin on Zoom. I'm glad you could join us. And with that, let us stand for the voluntary Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance. Flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That brings us to item number three, approval of minutes. We have item A under that, the regular assembly meeting minutes for June 1st, 2026. I would entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made by Member Mucci, seconded by Member Valentine. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The approval of those minutes passes on a 6-0 basis. Item four. Either amendment or approval of tonight's agenda. I'd either entertain a motion to approve tonight's agenda or to amend it.
I move to approve the agenda as written.
A second.
The motion has been made by Member Valentine and seconded by Member Mucci to approve the agenda as is. Will the clerk, or excuse me, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Aye. Excellent. The meeting agenda has been approved as is, 6-0. There are no public hearings this evening. We do have one bid award, wastewater outfall repair project bid award. Public Works Director Morrell requests approval to award the wastewater outfall repair project bid award to Rockin' Road Construction for an amount not to exceed $222,000. A memo from Director Morrell is attached to this agenda item. I would entertain a motion to approve this bid award.
So moved.
Second.
Motion been made by Member Mucci and seconded by Member Valentine. Any discussion on this bid award? Member Mucci.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Mayor. Hey, just for the folks at home, could we get a brief description about what this is and what it's for? Thank you.
I would defer to Director Morrell if you'd be so inclined, sir.
Yes, thank you. In February 2025, a diving attempt to locate the wastewater outfall revealed that the outfall was broken, separated at some unknown time. We reported this deficiency to the EPA and the DEC, who mandated the damage be repaired. Through the DEC and EPA, we were given approval to put the outfall pipe back as originally designed in 1974. Initiated a solicitation to bid, with Rockin' Road being the low bidder.
Does that answer your question, Member Mucci?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Any further discussion on the bid award? Seeing none, would the clerk please call the roll?
Member Mucci?
Yes.
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Member Newman?
Yes.
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Member Martin?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Stanton Gregor?
Yes. That bid award passes on a 6-0 basis. Bringing us to item number seven, persons to be heard on items related to tonight's agenda. This is the time where people wishing to share their views on any item on today's agenda may do so at this time. If you so choose to do this, please state forward, state your name, who you represent, and as we know, remember the rules of decorum, do not direct comments to any individual, and please be respectful of the space. The floor is yours, sir.
Thank you. My name's Tom Kowalski. I'm speaking for myself, and I just wanted to provide an update. This morning, myself and six other concerned citizens met with the Children's Health Defense. And this was our second meeting, and a lot has happened since our first meeting back in November. So we had a lot of updating to catch up with. The meeting went pretty well. There weren't any surprises. We've been providing you guys with some pretty good information. We hope you use it. We still have more information if you want any more. I just wanted to bring some points to light that came out of the meeting. One thing that we realized is that there's a lot of fear in the fire hall sale. There's some fear that if we don't sell it to Tlingit and Haida Title Network, there could be repercussions. And there's fear for doing things, and there's facts for doing things. And I just want you guys to separate the fear from the facts when you're making decisions. It's really all I'm asking for you guys. We're hoping that the facts that you guys base your decisions on will be something that can hold the ground for a very long time. The short gains that we might get from some of these decisions, they're gonna be around for a long time. So please be careful with that. There were some significant questions that have been raised for some of the sites that Title Network has done some work on. For example, the Mill Road site, that was a muskeg site that had rock placed on top. Not too many of us feel like they dug all that muskeg out and replaced it all. And so there's some concerns, some structural engineering concerns that should be addressed, at least looked at. And so there's also alternative sites. We've pointed them out. I know that they've been discussed, but the public has not received a comprehensive evaluation of those alternative sites, and we would like those to be investigated. Now, selling land now, under the circumstances that we're facing, and if you do sell based on fear, it's going to come back and bite us. You're going to lose respect, your authority. Our town is quickly becoming a town where it's the government versus the people. We need to resolve this. We need to come together and find some common ground and try and work together. So that's pretty much all I have to say about that meeting. It's ongoing, and anything that develops, I'll be sure to let you guys know. Thank you.
Is anybody else in the audience who'd like to speak to a person to be heard on items related to tonight's agenda? Now would be the time to come forward. As always, please state your name and who you represent, and you have 5 minutes.
Becky Knight, representing myself and probably a lot of other people in the community, 300 of which who at no great effort signed a petition in opposition to, you know what I'm talking about, the towers and probably implicit, and that is the data center as well. Anyway, so I'm speaking to the contract issuance and the ordinance, and I'm probably going to overlap some of what Tom just spoke about. The assembly should not dispose of public land before fully evaluating the impacts of the proposed towers on nearby residents, property owners, public safety, and the environment. And I know I've mentioned this a few times, but NEPA should have been instituted from the get-go on this. And that would avoid a lot of the rumors, a lot of the confusion, and lay out all the alternatives in a coherent manner. Significant questions remain regarding the suitability of the sites, including structural engineering concerns, geotechnical stability, fire safety, icefall hazards, property value impacts, and visual impacts on the surrounding area. And you know, one thing that just came to light at the GCI meeting the other night, the lot that they have planned to purchase only has a 20-foot setback, and there's going to be a tower right behind poor Dean Roundtree's home. And you know, whether or not, despite the zoning restrictions, it's just plain wrong. and plain wrong ought to play into some of this. The public has not yet received a comprehensive evaluation of alternatives, including less invasive locations, co-location opportunities, or other solutions that we would reduce impacts on residents. And what we've been relying on is just the faith of what they tell us rather than hard data that we can evaluate with our own two eyes. Selling the land now effectively commits the community to a course of action before critical issues have been resolved. The assembly has a responsibility to protect public assets and should not transfer ownership until all relevant concerns have been thoroughly investigated and addressed. And I would also like to remind you that selling the land is a short-sighted gain that only focuses on fear, and that's what Tom was speaking about. For this, the assembly will be trading the community's goodwill, the sellers will be trading the community's goodwill for one-time financial proceeds and insulation from litigation over a land sale contract where no federal preemption applies. And I think that this will not end. If both these measures get approved tonight, it will not end the opposition. So I could probably go on a lot further, but I bet there's somebody else that'd like to speak. And I know this isn't a whole lot of fun for you guys that just got on the assembly. This is like one of your very first issues to address, but I thank you for being here and I thank you for your hard work, all of you.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Knight. Is anybody else in the audience who'd like to speak to items related to the agenda? Please step forward now. State your name and who you represent.
I'm Judy Ulmer, speaking for myself. Again, on the fear thing, as it relates to selling the land up by the fire hall, the idea of we're afraid to get sued for bargaining in bad faith, that came up, gosh, way back. And it's seems like it's not been looked at really in bargaining in bad faith, almost against the community. It was already voted down, and so I guess the question I've been hearing the last 2 weeks is, so you're just gonna vote until you get what title wants? And I don't know whether that's true or that's not true, but it seems to go a lot against public testimony that's been presented here publicly. And then there's the argument about we're afraid to give them, if we don't give them what they want, they'll just put it in a neighborhood. And then I'm looking at, well, what neighborhood are you trying to protect when it hasn't felt like, hasn't seemed like the other neighborhoods affected have been protected at all? And it can keep going back to the old, well, it's not zoned right, or it's not zoned this, or it's not zoned that. And I think we need to look better at the zoning issue and how it's mixed. And if towers are serious enough that it needs to apply to all, I think we need to take a deeper dive into the ordinances and have protections in here for Petersburg and its future. And I don't see that happening. Should they just put it in some neighborhood out of spite or vindictiveness? I don't know. There are identified alternative sites that have been gone over, maps have been shown. There's an overlay in the works with planning and zoning. So I don't understand, that one I don't understand. Then there was the question also about taking the sensitive areas and redefining them where the hospital is out of that, that zone. And it's about how people said, well, you know, it's 600 feet from three of the designated sensitive populations, meaning the hospital, childcare centers, assisted living, where all those people will be in sustained proximity to the towers. So, I don't know, I look at it and say, well, if it's the same distance basically from the other towers are from those sensitive areas, do three wrongs make a right? And I don't think so, but I'm not sitting where you are where I have to make that decision publicly. You know, it's been said that bringing this up for a vote after it went down on a 3-3 vote last time is just a cover up for failed negotiations, so you got to take another run at it. I don't know whether that's true or that's not true, but it's not a good look for governance. So that's more on the fears. It's more of what I'm hearing, more than what I've heard in assembly meetings since October. So I hope you're careful with selling that land for the purpose stated, and that all of the safeguards are going to be put in place for Petersburg. Thank you.
Thank you. And just as a point of clarification for you, Ms. Zimmer, the land sale failed on a 2-4 basis, just as a detail. Just so you know. Anyway, thank you for your testimony. If anybody else would like to speak to items related to tonight's agenda, now would be a great time, or if there's anyone on Zoom, Clerk Regula as well.
No, there's, oh, hang on, yes, I do have.
All right, let's Chief stepping forward, let Chief go first. Cool, I saw you standing up, Chief, go for it, man, and thank you.
Okay, my name is James Kerr. I'm the Chief of Police for the Petersburg Police Department. Tonight, you've heard people talk on fear and facts. I want to speak on facts and to provide the public safety perspective on the proposed Title Network land sale. I want to focus on what I see is the biggest benefit of this proposal, the opportunity for the borough to secure long-term access to communication infrastructure that can support public safety for years and decades to come. Reliable communications are critical for police, fire, EMS, search and rescue, and 911 dispatch. Every emergency response depends on responders being able to communicate with dispatch and with each other. Today, there are areas within the borough where radio communications are not reliable to no radio communications. Improving communications has direct benefits for responder safety, coordination during emergencies, and service to the public. One of the most valuable parts of this agreement is the ability for the borough to place public safety communication equipment on Title Network towers located on Metcalf Island. That gives the borough options in the future without having to build and maintain its own tower infrastructure. From a taxpayer standpoint, that is important. Infrastructure is expensive. Securing access to infrastructure that is already being built can save a significant cost down the road if additional communication coverage is needed. I also believe it is important to look at this as a long-term investment. Communication needs will continue to evolve. Technology will change. Future borough leaders may face challenges and opportunities that we cannot predict today. This agreement gives the borough flexibility and preserves options for the future. The borough currently provides search and rescue, 911 dispatch, and jail services borough-wide, along with limited police, fire, and EMS services outside Service Area 1. Whenever an emergency occurs, communications remain one of the most important tools responders have. A simple way to look at this, when the borough sends responders, we owe them reliable communications. As Chief of Police, I believe this agreement is practical, forward-thinking investment in public safety, responder safety, and responsible planning for the future. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony, Chief Kerr. Good time to transition to the Zoom one, if that works for you, Clerk Regula.
Yes, we have Mr. Beebe on Zoom.
The floor is yours, Mr. Beebe. Proceed at your leisure.
Hi, my name is David Beebe, and I'm speaking for myself. I think it bears just providing the full context of what we have here. And it's arguably among the most controversial and consequential matters in the borough history. Why is that? First, to begin with, there was no public outcry nor burning desire to add 4 more cell towers and a data center to the Petersburg borough. The U.S. Census 2020 to 2024 demonstrates this clearly. Over 88% of the borough households were already subscribed to broadband services. That was 2 years ago. Prior to the build out of Starlink And it would not be surprising if that percentage is even higher, while the borough population itself is declining. So how long can we pretend to not know what this sudden build out of AI-powered data centers connected to four new cell towers will actually be used for? Total information awareness through the Internet of Things. In other words, every aspect of our private lives, thoughts and feelings, that of course is why we have a Bill of Rights, which also spells the end of our constitutional republic. If we can't have freedom of speech, freedom of thoughts and feelings, and privacy that requires the ability to remain anonymous while we are participants in this republic. The public outcry has rightly resulted from wondering exactly who the borough's primary obligations are to serve. Is it to serve the public trust as resident taxpayers? Or does the borough exist to serve corporate shareholders of telecom giants? The borough and some assembly members are on record decrying public testifiers. Some even go so far as to pretend the impacts of 150-foot cell towers next to residences are no different from Saint Skiff and Crab Pot storage. Really? Is that how to respond to concerns being the central point to the public process of local governance? The assembly has a responsibility to protect public assets and should not be transferring ownership until all relevant concerns are thoroughly investigated and addressed. The stark evidence is clear. The borough disregard for residential property devaluations and disregard for assuring public safety through applied medical science of the 21st century defies comprehension. This indicates borough government is here to serve telecom giants. They're bought and paid for proxies and politicians. So what if two telecom giants, that is AT&T and Verizon, literally bought Section 704 of the Telecommunications Act in 1996? Should it not matter to the borough government? These telecom giants knew damn well 30 years ago, to quote Section 704, quote, environmental effects of radio frequency emissions, end quote, would interfere with their profiteering. After all, the records of scientists in the 60s working for the oil and gas giants also knew damn well climate catastrophe from oil and gas emissions would at some point wreck their profiteering party. By the way, the courts are doing exactly that to the tune of billions of dollars. At some point, the borough government is going to have to realize the buck stops here.
If 30 seconds, Mr. Beebe.
Has failed its due diligence obligations to property owners, public health, and safety, this matter will not be over for a long time to come. Thank you for this opportunity to speak.
Thank you for your testimony this evening, Mr. Beebe. Is there anybody else either online or in chambers who'd like to speak to items related to tonight's agenda? None online. Seeing none in the room, okay. With that, we will move on to item 8, persons to be heard on items unrelated to tonight's agenda. If anyone would like to speak to items not on this evening's agenda, now is the time, either online or in chambers. Anybody online?
There is no one online.
Okay. Seeing none, we will proceed. We have no boards, commissions, or committee reports this evening, which brings us to our consent agenda, item 10. The 420 retail marijuana store license renewal. The 420 has applied with the Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office, AMCO, to renew their retail marijuana store license. AMCO has determined the application to be complete. The local governing body may protest the renewal within 60 days of notice that the application was filed out. And Entertain a motion to approve this license renewal.
So move.
Second.
Motion has been made by Member Mucci and seconded by Member Valentine. Since this is a consent agenda item, all those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? That license renewal passes unanimously on a 6-0 vote. Down to report of other officers. SEPA meeting report. Director Hagerman will provide one last update on SEPA activities. His report is attached to the agenda. Good sir, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You bet.
Just read some points into the record from the SEPA regular meeting of May 27th. 100% design for the Taiyi third turbine is completed. This project will increase the power output from Taiyi Lake by another 12 megawatts and is the highest priority in the agency's five-year strategic plan. A license amendment has been filed with FERC to add the third turbine. Progress is being made on the equipment procurement contract with Canyon Hydro out of Washington State, with a Pelton turbine being milled right now and other equipment also in production. If all goes per schedule, the third turbine will be installed and operational in calendar year 2027. Current plans are to issue the construction RFP in July of this year, so just next month. The Ketchikan substation design is also completed. This project will increase the amount of power available to Ketchikan from SEPA and is the second highest priority of the current five-year strategic plan. Draft procurement specs are completed, as is the RFP document. However, the agency is waiting for federal and state funding sources to solidify before soliciting bids and awarding a contract. Detailed discussions on funding sources and funding streams will take place at the next SEPA meeting. The SEPA board visited the selected grid reliability and stability project site in Wrangell, a project that addresses the third priority of the five-year strategic plan, which is development of new generation. Petersburg's Rock and Road Construction was awarded a contract to work on the road into the site and has completed about 80% of that work at the time of the meeting. Potential layout of the solar panels was visibly flagged on the 44-acre site. Discussions of the board at the site ranged from timing of the project, cost, future maintenance considerations, and effect on operating turbines. The initial project will be 1.5 megawatts with a 5-megawatt battery energy storage system known as a BESS, and it will be expanded to a 5-megawatt facility over time. When finished, the solar facility will allow the savings of water in both Swan and Taiyi Lakes for later winter use, as well as diesel fuel savings for Wrangell. For now, completion of the road and completion of the final design and spec package will meet the requirements for significant IRS investment tax credit rebates that are anticipated to pay for 50% of the project cost. Also during the meeting, other updates were given by SEPA staff on helipad replacements, roadway embankment reconstruction, drone mapping and geological structural stability analysis at the Swan Lake Dam, Taiyi and Swan FERC relicensing efforts, right-of-way clearing, generator maintenance, scheduled work during the June 2026 SEPA maintenance outage, which is happening right now, and Petersburg and Wrangell switchyard and substation maintenance. The staff reported the snowpack surveys at Taiyi and Swan watersheds were performed in April. The surveys showed higher than normal snowpack at Taiyi and lower than normal at Swan Lake. But the overall snow water equivalent for the SEPA system is in keeping with historical averages. With the intertie in place, it is the agency's plan to balance the lakes throughout the year by sending power north or south as needed to utilize all the impounded water to the greatest benefit to their customer communities. Water levels in the lakes are healthy at the present time, and the forecast is for warmer temperatures with average precipitation this year. We'll see how that pans out. It was my last SEPA meeting, as the mayor mentioned, so it was nice to get a little recognition from the board. Appreciated that very much. And that meeting, Steve Harbor was also able to attend, so he is all set to assume the role of the alternate board member for the remainder of this calendar year. That's my report.
That's your report. Any questions for Director Hagerman? Member Mucci, the floor is yours.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm going to miss your reports, Carl. But I appreciate the information. You know, you talk about the highest priority in the five-year strategic plan and the second highest. If I went to the SEPA website, could I see what those priorities were in the five-year strategic plan?
I'm other than in a an agenda packet that is posted on the website, I don't think that they have this five-year strategic plan posted directly to the site.
Thank you. And then the other question regarding the solar panels that are going to be put on a 44-acre site. So if the initial project is to be 1.5 megawatts, and if it could be expanded to 5 megawatts, does the acreage have to increase, or do the solar panels increase?
That's a good question, but no. The site is, the 44-acre site is the size, so they'll only use a portion of that at the outset for the 1.5-megawatt facility, and then they'll build out the remainder of the footprint for the 5 megawatts.
All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Any other questions for Director Hagerman? Seeing none, thank you for that report. We'll move on to the mayor's report. I think I got that right, yep. Amy Hollingstead Day on June 28th, PIA will be hosting a celebration of Amy Hollingstead Day in the PIA parking lot on 12th Street and Haugen. Go to the PIA Facebook page or to the PIA website at piatribal.org for more information. I hope that is a well-attended event. Amy Hollingstead was a dynamic human. SEPA annual shutdown. The hydroelectric feed has been shut down since June 11th. You can hear the generators out the window, and will resume operations on June 18th. Thank you to all customers for conserving power during this time. Carl Hagerman's retirement. Carl is retiring after 33 years of service to the city and now the borough of Petersburg. The public is invited to help us show our appreciation for his many years of service on June 19th from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. in Assembly Chambers. I was going to save this for recognitions, but I'm just going to do it now.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor.
But of course.
29th.
29th? What did I say?
19th.
Dang, I'm slipping. June 29th. Thank you, Mr. Manager.
Although there's enough to celebrate, we could probably do two
full days. We should.
But yeah.
Thank you so much for that, Manager.
Sorry.
I appreciate it. Got to keep me on track. On June 29th from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. in Assembly Chambers. There we go. For those who have worked with Carl Hagerman or worked around him, I'm going to state to the patently obvious. Carl is a man of deep integrity, deep honesty, and deep principles. Anybody who's ever crossed paths with him in the Venn diagram of life, whether it be in personal or professional life, I'm sure has seen this. He's able to keep, even in stressful times, an air of levity and humor, which I think has helped maintain sanity over 33 years of employment. His deep curiosity of every issue during my time on the Assembly he has navigated, I've always found impressive. There's no way Carl can be genuinely curious about every issue he finds, but he digs in, and his level of professionalism is it's beyond compare. In short, I've been honored to work with you, Carl, over the course of these years. You're truly you're a darn good human. I'm honored to have known you. So thank you, sir. Last item on the mayor's report, celebrating Pride Month. With June being Pride Month, Vice Mayor Stanton Greger, want to take this occasion to clearly say this. Unhesitatingly and wholeheartedly support my lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, non-binary, and queer friends, their rights, their marriages, their pursuit of happiness, and their breath. This is also very true July through May. With that, I'll give it to you, Manager, for the Manager's Report.
Thank you, sir.
You bet.
The library's Great Summer Reading Challenge officially launched on June 5th. Children ages 0 to 13 are invited to join the fun by logging their reading and completing engaging activities throughout the summer. The program helps support youth literacy, encourages the love of reading, and combats summer learning loss. Visit the psglib.org to sign up and get started. The program is funded in partnership with FHLB Des Moines and made possible through the generous support of many local businesses and individuals in our community. Apex Refrigeration is completing the final work on reassembling the elderly housing cooler and freezer. And administrative staff at Assisted Living are preparing for the Inspire inspection of the facility at the end of June, conducted by Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. Continued expanding of the new landfill access road to provide additional areas for wastewater compost and construction debris is still underway. Motor Pool Group completed all scheduled preventative maintenance activities for the month, currently performing maintenance and repairs on snow removal equipment. sanitation, successfully completed the annual hazardous waste collection event. The collection van was shipped out on June 9th. One sanitation collection truck remains out of service, resulting in reduced capacity. Operations are currently utilizing the reserve truck to maintain service levels. Building maintenance group repaired some broken toilets at portable restroom facilities, and we had to rekey several locks and installed new locks in the harbor restroom facilities. New air purification system in the motor pool facility is installed to help reduce dust and for the workers. And pump station 4 is nearing completion, with the final punch list items expected to be addressed this week. We reinstalled a pump at pump station 3. The department has been operating for several months with only one of the three pumps available while repairs were being completed. One replacement pump had to be manufactured from scratch and is expected to arrive within the next few weeks. This is our next really big wastewater project, and it's going to be a challenge. We don't know how big a challenge, but access alone is going to pose some problems for us. Congratulations to Zane Browning on obtaining his Class A commercial driver's license. And the visit from Department of Natural Resources, DNR, Dam Safety Program Manager went well. DNR toured both dams and were satisfied with current operations and maintenance practices. We had several leaks identified and repaired by Public Works over the past few weeks that estimated to saving approximately 250 gallons of water per day. Scow Bay Generator Number 2 project is moving along. The 95% cost estimate for completing the first phase of construction was received, and Dawson Construction is drafting the design build construction amendment for the assembly's consideration. Carl has been working on completing some of the old, updating the old city ordinances on snow removal, local improvements, and utility extensions, and have been forwarded them to the borough attorney for review. He continues to update the electric chapter and will complete this before June 30th, he tells me. Blind Slough Hydro continues to run at a high 2 megawatt output, and the line crew's summer is shaping up to be very busy. We have several line extensions in the works, including the airport subdivision. PowerLight's ARC GIS mapping is continuing. Joe Vignicki has been spearheading this effort. It's making great strides at getting all the meters, poles, overhead, and underground wires into the system. Our electrician, Randy Hardister, passed his state exam to become a journeyman electrician. Randy started at Power and Light in January of this year. He did his schooling and apprenticeship in Oregon. The new Main Street lights and poles are scheduled to ship from the factory June 26th. And Power and Light reminds everyone that while we have the capacity to meet customer needs, conserving electricity now through the end of June will help reduce the fuel surcharge that will appear on the July billing statement. The annual SEPA maintenance shutdown is running, as you've heard, and runs through June 18th. During that time, diesel generation is used to provide electricity to all customers. Trail connections from Frederick Point Drive to City Creek Trail have been mapped by the Petersburg Volunteer Fire Department and recorded with Police Department for emergency calls along the trail. Trail connections are numbered at both locations along the trail and the road for folks to help identify where they are on the trail should emergency response be needed. More information can be found on the Parks and Rec Facebook page or by contacting Stephanie Payne. Our aquatic center is 20 years old. Come join us in celebrating on July 3rd from 12 to 2 with burgers and ice cream. See the forthcoming 4th of July schedule for more information. And the Petersburg Bike Park invites you and your tots for the Tot Jam on July 3rd from 10:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Come see what the bike park is up to with all your progress. And just one more Carl-related things. I thought people might find this interested. His hire date was 10/12/1992. He worked in wastewater, sanitation, public works, power and light, along with several stints as the acting borough manager. His last day before retirement, as we've said, is June 30th, and we will be celebrating him on the 29th. So we really hope everybody in the community can make a trip over here and say hi, hello. And that's everything. Lester's questions.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Questions for the manager? Seeing none, thank you for your report, good sir. All right, bear with me as I get caught up here.